Thank you all for coming out this morning. So divoting is a natural occurrence on golf course fairways and tees. In fact, it's been estimated that 0.21 hectares of turf are removed each year from a Bermuda grass golf course fairway. So as a result, golf course superintendents oftentimes use tools to enhance recovery from this divoting, such as using seed or fungicide or different amendments. So there's been a look at from a turf manager standpoint of improving recovery, and as well as within turf scientists, especially within Bermuda grass and zoysia grass cultivars, there's been research that's looked at divot recovery. Karcher et al. Performed two separate studies looking at Bermuda grass and zoysia grass divot recovery. And reported those in 2005. And then last year I presented some research looking at 12 different cultivars of Bermuda grass and zoysia grass in a combined experiment for divot recovery. So there's been an emphasis that's looked at a post-divoting response from turf managers as well as turf scientists. But really there hasn't been there's been little look at a more of a preventative basis instead of a post-divoting response, and which brings me to today's discussion of divot resistance. And divot resistance is defined, as the name suggests, as a turf's ability to resist divoting from either a golf club or an athlete's foot or what have you. And it can actually influence not only the size of a divot that's created, but also a total number of divots on a golf course fairway or tee, for example. So just to illustrate what I'm referring to in divot resistance, there's two pictures displayed on the screen. The picture on the left displays a turf that is more susceptible to divoting, and the picture on the right displays a turf that is less susceptible to divoting. There's actually been some previous research that's been performed with respect to divot resistance. Gasson et al. Looked at using a turf shear tester and evaluating divot resistance for within Kentucky bluegrass. McNitt and Landshut looked at soil reinforcing materials and their effect on divot resistance as well as wear tolerance in perennial ryegrass. And Sherritt et al. Also used a clay turf shear tester and evaluated biomass accumulation as in divot resistance of Kentucky bluegrass. Sorensitz, who did a very extensive study looking at divot resistance in Kentucky bluegrass, evaluated various management practices that influenced divot resistance. And Tomes et al. Presented some research last year that, which is a fairly similar study to Sorensitz in that it evaluated management practices that influenced divot resistance. However, he evaluated those on zoysia grass cultivars. A common trend across a lot of this previous research is that it's had an emphasis on sports turf use. And so in that, there's there hasn't, especially there has not been an emphasis not only in Bermuda grass, but also in Bermuda grass and zoysia grass in a combined experiment. So the objective of our research was to quantify the divot resistance for Bermuda grass and zoysia grass cultivars. The study was completed at the University of Arkansas Agriculture Research and Extension Center in Fayetteville. And we used 12 cultivars of Bermuda grass and zoysia grass. Two cultivars of common Bermuda grass, Princess 77 and Riviera, three cultivars of hybrid Bermuda grass, Patriot, Tiff Sport, and Tiffway, four cultivars of Zoysia japonica zoysia grass, El Toro, Meyer, Palisades, and Zenith, and three cultivars of Zoysia matrella, and those were Cavalier, Diamond, and Zorro. The first divoting took place 2 years after establishment from sod in 2007. The plot size were plots were 1.8 by 1.8 meters, replicated four times in a randomized complete block, and plots were maintained under typical golf course fairway conditions. For today's discussion, I'll be presenting two different dates that plots were divoted on, the 17th of July 2009 and the 1st of June 2010. And one other similar trend that was noticed from previous research was the methodology used to create the divots. A lot of times it was either from an apparatus that was simulating a divot or was using something else to measure, say, surface firmness or sheer strength or something of that nature. One thing we wanted to do was actually just get out and hit golf balls with actual golf clubs. And it wasn't just that we love golf or anything, but we just at least wanted to see and make a direct real-world situation for evaluating divert resistance. And so we evaluated two different parameters, volume and severity, which was a visual rating scale of 1 to 5, and I'll explain more about that in a minute. But essentially, two low-handicapped golfers hit three golf balls on each plot subsequently for a total of 6 subsamples. And this essentially, so within each replication, each golfer would go plot to plot and then start over again on the next plot, or starting over again in the previous replication. So for divot volume, divots were filled with a known amount of sand to determine the volume of the divot taken, and the amount of sand was filled to the sole surface, was filled to be level with the sole surface. Severity, as I mentioned, was a visual rating scale on 1 to 5, with 1 being a very small divot with little to no damage, and 5 being a very large divot with severe injury. And you know, one thing that we wanted to do is we wanted to compare our conventional divoting methods to something that has been implemented previously and has shown divot or differences in divot resistance. And similar to Gassant et al. As well as Sherritt et al. Looking at the Clegg turfgrass shear tester, we decided to use that for this study. The depth was set to 17 millimeters below the soil surface, and the arm of the device was pulled until the turf divoted, upon which a readout was given in force. And then, similar to the conventional divoting method, 6 subsamples were taken for each plot. Data were analyzed using PROC-ANOVA or PROC-MIXED in SAS, and Fisher's protected least significant difference test was used to separate means when the F-tests were significant. So now moving into the results, cultivar actually turned out to be significant factor for divot resistance across all three divot evaluation methods. There was also a date by cultivar interaction for divot severity as well as a turf shear tester, but there was no interaction for volume. So data for volume will actually be combined across dates. Additionally, there was no interaction for the main effective golfer, so there was no difference between the golfers in the size of the divot that they were taking. As well as for the date by cultivar and cultivar by golfer interaction, those were not significant. And however, there was actually a date by cultivar by golfer interaction that was slightly significant. But for discussion purposes today, I just wanted to discuss the methods as well as the cultivar and species differences, and with a lesser emphasis on golfer. So I will not be presenting that interaction today. So this figure is actually a very good representation of the remaining figures in this presentation this morning, with cultivar down here on the x-axis and the particular evaluation method on the y-axis. I've gone ahead and color coordinated the cultivars based upon their respective species. And that key is found up in the top right-hand corner, with light blue being cynodon dactylon or common Bermuda grass, dark blue being cynodon dactylon x cynodon transvalensis, which was hybrid Bermuda grass, Zoysia japonica being light green, and Zoysia mitrella being dark green. So again, as I mentioned, volume is found on the y-axis, and so a turf that has a greater volume displaced for discussion purposes, has a lower divot resistance. So the cultivars among which had the highest volume displaced were Princess 77 and Riviera Bermuda grass, as well as Palisade Zoysia grass. The cultivars among those that had the lowest volume displaced were Cavalier Diamond and Zorro Zoysia grass. Now, looking at divot severity, again, severity is over here on the y-axis and cultivar on the x-axis, and this figure is set up very similar to the previous one. Again, a low divot severity or a divot severity of 1, for example, represented a very low severe divot or a very little divot taken, and a 5 being the opposite of that, a very large divot or severe divoting. So the cultivars that were among those that had the most severe divoting, there was actually quite a few. Those were Patriot, Princess 77, Riviera, Tiff Sport, Bermuda grass, as well as Cavalier, Meyer, Palisades, and Zenith Zoysiagrass. The two cultivars that were different than those that were in the high statistical category were in those that had the lowest severe divoting for divot severity were Diamond and Zorro Zoysiagrass. Looking at severity for the second date, there was actually a less severe divoting on this date, and that'll be important here in a minute, so if you want to keep that in mind. Again, those cultivars that had the highest severity were Princess 77 and Riviera, as Bermuda grass, as well as Palisades and Zenith Zoysiagrass. The cultivars having the lowest divot severity were Tipsport and Tipway Bermuda grass, Cavalier, Diamond, Meyer, and Zorro Zoysiagrass. So just to summarize the results for divot severity, there were similar trends across both dates in that Princess 77 and Riviera Bermuda grass, as well as Palisades Zoysiagrass, had the most severe divoting. Additionally, another similar trend was that Diamond and Zorro Zoysiagrass had the least severe divoting. Looking at the turfgrass shear tester, again on the y-axis, force can be found, and the higher the force, meaning the more divot resistant a turf is. So those that had required the least amount of force, or were among those, were Patriot and Princess 77 Bermuda grass, as well as Meyer and Zenith Zoysiagrass. And those requiring the greatest amount of force for divoting were Tipsport and Tipway Bermuda grass, Cavalier, Diamond, and Zorro Zoysiagrass. This 1st of June 2010 data, again, similar to severity, there was actually an increase in resistance across all cultivars. And those the cultivars requiring the least amount of force to make a divot were Patriot and Princess 77 Bermuda grass, as well as El Toro, Meyer, and Zenith Zoysiagrass. The cultivars requiring the greatest amount of force to make a divot were Diamond, Palisades, and Zorro Zoysiagrass. So in summary, for the turf shear tester results, the lowest amount of force required to make a divot cultivars were Patriot and Princess 77 Bermuda grass, as well as Meyer and Zenith Zoysiagrass. Those that required the higher amount of force to remove a divot were Diamond and Zorro Zoysiagrass, as well as Tipsport Bermuda grass. One of the things that we wanted to look at, or our objective for this study was predominantly just to identify cultivars and species of Bermuda grass and Zoysiagrass that were more divot resistant, and we weren't really trying to answer the question why some were more divot resistant than others. But one thing that Sorensis et al. Evaluated and found that was highly related to divot resistance was tiller density. And we took tiller densities counts for each of the dates, and we found that the turf shear tester was highly related to tiller density as well as divot severity. So to summarize some of these results, the cultivars containing the highest divot resistance were Cavalier, Diamond, and Zorro Zoysiagrass, and the cultivars containing the lowest divot resistance were Princess 77 and Riviera Bermuda grass. And in general, the three methods provided similar trends in results for those cultivars that had higher resistance and lower resistance. So as I mentioned before, much of the research has looked at a post-divoting response, that this, especially for Bermuda grass and Zoysiagrass, puts us in the direction of identifying cultivars in which we can address a preventative response for divot resistance. And in general, these results may help to provide a more consistent playing surface and may, in fact, reduce inputs by turfgrass practitioners in trying to maintain those conditions. We'd like to say thanks to John Sorokin at the University of Tennessee for letting us borrow the turf shear tester, as well as the Arkansas Turfgrass Association and the GCSAA of Arkansas for partial funding. And with that, I'd be more than happy to take any questions you might have.
We have time for one question.
Dr. Brillman.
Golfers often don't like Zoysia because they can't take a divot. They actually complain about it. They say they have to modify their style. So what's your comment to that?
Well, I think that's obviously a matter of personal preference, and whether or not golfers prefer it, obviously those are the customers for golf course superintendents. But I'm sure that varies with handicap level, and it would be very interesting to see if that was, say, a low handicap golfer as opposed to high handicap golfers who have found that they do prefer Zoysiagrass.
It's usually low ones.
Yeah.